Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy this show. This is the story of the amazing mule-powered railroad of Central Oregon, a tiny little track built in a desperate attempt to stave off financial ruin by Colonel T. Edginton Hogg. This story was first published in May 31st of 2009, so quite some time ago. Here we go. Lane County historian Curtis Irish recently called my attention to a mule-powered railroad. I can't say it's the only one, but I've sure never heard of another. If you've ever dared take your eyes off the road while going over Sandyam Pass toward Bend, you may have seen it. Rock cribbing supporting a railroad grade going up the side of a geographical feature that's known as Hog Rock. Not Hog Butte, not Hog Hill, not Hog gently sloping railroad-friendly mountainside. No, Hog Rock. And a rock it is, not something you would think a railroad man in his right mind would try to run a track across. But Colonel T. Edginton Hogg, the man who arranged it, was not exactly in his right mind. In fact, he built that track in a desperate gamble to save himself from financial ruin. He lost, by the way. Here's the story. In the 1870s and 1880s, Hogg was in the railroad business. Starting out small, he incorporated the Corvallis and Yaquina Bay Railroad Company in 1872. The connection through the Coast Range was completed in 1884. And at Yaquina Bay, he ran a steamer, the Yaquina City, which took passengers to other ports from there. But Hogg didn't plan on staying small. He envisioned a huge project, a railroad line that would go from Chicago through Corvallis and out to the ocean at Newport, which he saw as a more logical trading spot than Portland because it wouldn't require crossing the Columbia River Bar and going miles upriver. Portland swells, as you can imagine, were not pleased by this idea, not least because it made a certain amount of sense on paper. Hogg's route would cut 300 miles off the Chicago to San Francisco run, which was then done by rail and sea. But for the venture to work, Hogg had to get track laid across the Cascades so that it would connect to a terminus in Boise. If that didn't happen, the government wouldn't give him the enormous land grants, the sale of which was to finance much of the action. Well, everything was going nicely, until the steamship Hogg had running at the Newport terminus, the SS Yaquina City, suddenly suffered rudder failure. A cable snapped, and it was washed aground at the mouth of the bay. Everybody got off safely, but the waves broke the ship apart. Obviously, this was a big deal. But for Hogg, it was even worse than it looks, because the steamship was a key part of his primary source of income. Even without the Chicago traffic, the steamship and Hogg's Railroad offered at the time the fastest service to San Francisco from the Mid and South Willamette Valley, and they'd become a popular line. Hogg scrambled to replace the steamer with the insurance money. But meanwhile, without the steamer's income, Hogg didn't have the money to finish his rail line to the Cascade Summit. In desperation, Hogg dropped work on his rail line and had his workers go straight to the summit of the pass and build a track over it. Once this was done, he had a boxcar disassembled and packed into boxes which were lugged up the pass by mules. On site, the boxcar was reassembled and the mules pulled it over the pass a couple times. The letter of the law having thus been met, Hogg happily announced to the government that he'd fulfilled his end of the deal. A railroad line was running across the Cascades. He got no pushback from Washington and everything looked good, until disaster struck again. When his new ship, the SS Yaquina Bay, was being towed into the harbor by a tugboat, the cable snapped, and the Yaquina Bay was washed onto the shore to lay its bones right next to those of its sister ship, the Yaquina City. Two cable failures in the exact same spot, within months of each other, destroying the same man's ships. What were the odds? Few at the time thought this was a coincidence. It's almost certain that the Portland companies threatened by Hogg's Newport scheme had some hand in the double accident. But there's a big difference between almost certain and proven in court. Hogg had no proof. In any case, if it was sabotage, it worked. This time the loss was not insured. Within months, Hogg's business was in receivership, and soon thereafter he left the state, a ruined man. But today, more than 100 years later, his railroad grade to nowhere is still there. Well, that's our show for today. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a series of live history shows, a daily RSS feed to catch in your smartphone newsreader, a Facebook page, and a couple other minor components too, YouTube channel, that kind of thing. Photographs and other visual goodies that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you will also find full citations to the sources for this story. The podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is an Atlas String Band track, atlasstringband.com, and it was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon history for the fun of it, and to learn things. So I don't sell advertising, and I don't ask for donations. But if you do enjoy Offbeat Oregon history and you'd like to support it, you can always pick up a copy of my book. If you enjoy the show, I can pretty much guarantee that you'll enjoy my book. It's called Wicked Portland. It's published by the History Press in 2012, and you can pick a copy up at a community bookstore near you, or you can order a signed copy from the store link at offbeatoregon.com. The book sells for $20. Finally, if you ever happen to be in Corvallis, drop me a line. We can grab a cup of coffee and talk about history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or you can tweet at me, @offbeatoregon. Our next show will be coming up at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.